بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 24th of November in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 247th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I've reached a point where I've mentioned the end of the Khawarij, the signs of the misguided Khawarij, and then the report in which our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likened Ali to Isa, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So, it would be fair to say that the Amir al-Mu'mineen was being tested due to his high religious commitment. Thus only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows what burden he was carrying. Because it is related. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu was once on his pulpit and he said, I am the heavy blow upon tribulation. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I were not to bore you with what I possess, I would call you to action about your events that have been previously spoken about upon the tongue of your Prophet. Then he said, ask me, for you do not ask me about anything that is amongst you until the hour, except I shall inform you of the answer. This is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 7-528, Abu Nu'im. So look at the knowledge he possessed. He first said, I am the heavy blow upon fitna. Meaning Allah Ta'ala has placed me amongst it to protect you from this. And it's true. If Hazrat Ali wasn't there, we wouldn't really know what was going on. Because I am a heavy blow upon fitna. Then he said, I could tell you about your future events because Rasulullah has told me about it. But I don't want to bore you. Then he said, ask me about anything until the day of judgment, I will give you the knowledge. So who but Ali could say that, radiyallahu. In addition, though he lived through the fitna, this most majestic man was not at all a part of it. For Qais ibn al-Kharifi, he said, rahmatullah alayh, I heard Ali radiyallahu anhu say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the forerunner, followed by Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and the third one was Umar radiyallahu anhu. Then fitna struck us, and that is what Allah glorified and exalted had willed. Abu Abdul Rahman added, my father said regarding the words, the fitna struck us, he was in reality showing modesty thereby. For how could he be part of the fitna? This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 1020, with a Hassan chain. So look how beautiful. He put himself into the fitna. He goes, Rasulullah came first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, they were the second and the third, radiyallahu anhuma. Then he goes, fitna struck us. He goes, Allah Ta'ala had willed it, nobody could stop it. But as some narrator said, he didn't mean himself. He was showing humility because he had nothing to do with the fitna. This was his humility. So he was living through it, but he was protected from it. Consider also that Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad had related that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ السَّعِيدَ لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنِ He said this three times. وَلَمَّا نِبْتُلِيَ فَصَبَرَ فَوَاحَ Verily he is indeed fortunate who was protected from the fitna. Verily he is indeed fortunate who was protected from the fitna. Verily he is indeed fortunate who was protected from the fitna. But he who fell into it and was patient, then how excellent, how amazing. This is in Abu Dawood, Targheeb number 2408. So look how amazing. The Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, he is Sa'id. Sa'id means happy. He is happy who was protected, who's got a shield from the fitna. So if you are protected, most of us won't see Dajjal. So I'll be happy over that, alhamdulillah. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَمَّنِبْتُلِيَ فَصَبَرَ طَوَاهَا. But he who fell into it, that's number one, was patient, number two, then فَوَاهَا. Like we say, wahwa, wahwa, how amazing that is. When Allah Ta'ala puts a person into it, and he shows patience, and he goes, then you see a true person. So which one was Ali? If he was in the first category, that would have been enough. But Allah Ta'ala put him into the amazing category. Right? So no, whenever the Prophet said things, they're just words. But when you put personalities behind these hadiths, you can appreciate it. So we can simply say, Rasulullah was amazed by Ali. Why? Because he himself said, he who falls into it and was patient, how excellent, how amazing. So who was he praising? Definitely Ali, radiallahu. So moving on. Entitled, The Sad Decline in the Amir al-Mu'mineen's Power. After defeating the Khawarij at Nahrawan, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu now immediately wanted to march towards Sham once more to face Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and thus to strike whilst the iron was hot. So don't forget, his initial objective was to go again to Sham. As if Muawiyah hadn't, you know, pledged allegiance, the situation has not resolved. He's now heading towards them. He was diverted by the Khawarij. When the Khawarij has been dealt the heavy blow, he's now wanting to go now straight away. But the vast bulk of his forces were from the people of Iraq. And yes, you guessed it. They were to exasperate our venerable Mawla once more. After assembling his troops, Amir al-Mu'mineen said, radiyallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you victorious. Therefore, now is the right time to deal with the Sham, with the people of Sham. The Iraqis replied, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu, let us return for a while to our homes, to furbish our lances and swords, and to replenish our quivers, which have now been dulled and exhausted. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 288 to 289. So Hazrat Ali is pleading with them, strike now. And look what they said. This was their excuse. Our lances and our swords and our quivers, we need to sort them out. They've been used so much in war. Basically, we need to rest. He goes, let us rest and then we will go with you. The Amir al-Mu'mineen was camping at Nakhila, a few miles from Kufa. After offering their excuses, some men began slipping away to Kufa without permission. Assessing the situation, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had now no choice but to return to his capital. So they missed the opportunity because they were disobeying his commands. So he returned. Then after allowing time to rest, he once again asked the people to get ready for the Sham campaign. But alas, the leaders of Kufa showed now little desire. In Al-Bayan Wat-Tabiyin, page 238 to 239, Al-Mubarrad in his Al-Qamil, volume 1, page 30 to 1, he delivered a khutbah and he was angry with the Iraqis. So look what he said. This is not the whole khutbah. This is just few parts from that khutbah. When you are asked to move against them in winter, you say it is severely cold. If I ask you to march in summer, you say it is too hot. Spare us till the heat subsides. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are running away from the mere heat and cold, you would certainly flee even faster from the sword. O you who resemble men, but are not men, would that I had never seen or met you, for knowing you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused me great grief and sorrow. So let's stop the quote. So what was the excuses? It's too cold, it's winter. Wait till the cold. So months are passing. The cold goes, because let's go, because it's hot now. So what did he say to them? He goes, if heat and cold is preventing you, he goes, you will flee from the sword even quicker. And then he, you know, got so angry. He goes, you're not even men. I wish I never knew you. Then he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill you, for you have filled my heart with pus and anger, and you have caused me a great deal of distress. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your disobedience has made my plans futile, filled my heart with rage. And now even the Quraysh have started saying that the son of Abu Talib is brave, but he is ignorant with regards to war. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them. For is there anyone who is more adept in the art of war than I? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I arose for it when I was not yet 20. Now here I am, having crossed 60. Then he looked at the heavens and he, with signs of grief, and he said, but he can do nothing whose orders are not obeyed, however wise he may be. He can do nothing whose orders are not obeyed, however wise he may be. And he said it again 3 times. So he gave up with them. And he said to them, he goes, I have the blueprint. You are not executing it. And then he goes, even the Quraysh, he goes, my family, they're saying he's a very brave man, but he doesn't know about war. And then he goes, may Allah Ta'ala bless them. So look at the difference. What do we say to the Iraqis? May Allah Ta'ala kill the Iraqis. To the Quraysh, he goes, may Allah Ta'ala bless them. He goes, who can know more about war than I? He goes, for 50 years, 5 decades, I've been on the battlefield. But then he said, but what can anybody do when his orders are not obeyed, however wise he may be? So now, is there a hadith of the Prophet? Yes. When describing the signs of the hour, our beloved messenger said, amongst other things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِن يَظْهَرَ أَحْلُ الْمُنْكَرِ عَلَىٰ أَحْلِ الْحَقِّ. And the people of mischief will dominate the people of righteousness. And the people of mischief or evil will dominate the people of truth, righteousness. This is in Ibn Abi Dunya, it's Mursal, Targheeb number 2406. So look at how amazing. You got hadiths. Like I said, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you, if you apply it, then you realize what he's saying. So what's one of the signs of the hour? The people of mischief dominate the people of righteousness. And it happened in the time of Ali. They were dominating. They were ignoring him. Sha'bi had related in Tabari in his Tariq 6-53. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu defeated the people of Nahrawan, many people went against him. Many people from the various regions began to turn against him. Banu Najiyah rebelled against him. Ibn al-Hadnami came to Basra and the people of Al-Ahwaz rebelled against him. Those who were paying the land tax wanted to stop and they expelled Sahal ibn Hunayf, Ali's governor in Persia. So what's happening? His power is being diminished. The people, they're hearing narrations that he's killed Muslims. And he's not steady in his authority. And they're rebelling. So who's rebelled? Banu Najiyah, a very powerful tribe, rebelled against him. The people of Basra, the people of Al-Ahwaz rebelled. And they even expelled his governor from Persia, Sahal ibn Hunayf. It has also been related that becoming aware of the Amir al-Mu'mineen's internal problem and weaknesses, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu also tried to win over Ziyad ibn Abihi, Sayyidina Ali's governor in Persia, but he failed to do so. This is in Al-Istiyab 2-525-526. So Hazrat Muawiyah, his land is blessed. No problem, complete unity. So all of that trouble is with Hazrat Ali. How many months have passed? He can't even, you know, basically raise an army. So what has Muawiyah been doing all that time? Getting stronger. And he now wants to win over the governors of Ali. Meaning, I am the one who will deal with Uthman's murder. You can see that the Amir al-Mu'mineen is losing authority. But Ziyad ibn Abi refused to do so. Now what's interesting about that? If you don't know who Ziyad ibn Abi is, you don't appreciate this. Later on, he joined Muawiyah. But he was a staunch follower of Ali first, radiallahu. His son, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, was the governor of Kufa, who gave orders to slaughter Imam Hussein. So these names are very interesting. But his father was the governor of Persia, but he goes, no. Amir al-Mu'mineen's authority still is in place. Sayyidina Ali had thus in exasperation during one of his speeches in Bukhari in his Tarikh 1-125. Bisr, so Ali speaking, radiallahu. Bisr, now who's Bisr? He was sent by Muawiyah, radiallahu, to wrestle away the holy cities from the Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he was unsuccessful. Referred to Bukhari in his Tarikh 1-41. So think about that. Hazrat Muawiyah has sent a man to take the authority of Makkah and Medina. A man called Bisr, but he was unsuccessful. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, Bisr has just come to me from Muawiyah. And I now certainly think these people will prevail over you due to their unity and support for their falsehood as compared to our correct understanding, and your division and lack of support for your truth because of their obedience to their leader and your disobedience to your leader because they are sincere and you are treacherous. So stop in the quote. So he's saying Bisr came to take the holy cities. He was not successful. But Hazrat Ali said, I can now see that they will be victorious because they are united behind their Amir whilst you are not united behind yours. Then he said, I appointed so and so. He betrayed me. He took the wealth to Muawiyah, radiallahu. I appointed someone else. And alas, he also betrayed me. He took the wealth to Muawiyah, radiallahu. Subhanallah, thus even if I entrusted you with a wooden bowl, I would still fear he would betray me concerning it. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hate them and they hate me. Thus now relieve them of me and relieve me of them. This is in Bukhari in his Tarikh 1-125. So what's happening? He's fed up. He goes, I'm appointing people. And they're joining Muawiyah, radiallahu. Because, as in Muawiyah, they were united behind him. And he goes, Uthman's, all this time has passed. And nothing's happened with Uthman's murder. And yet, look at the problems we've got. So they moved to Hazrat Muawiyah, radiallahu. And then Hazrat Ali said, I don't even trust you with a wooden bowl. And look what he said. I hate you, and you hate me. And he goes, oh my Lord, relieve them of me and relieve me of them. Meaning, I want to go. In another report, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyah relates that his father made the following dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am fed up with them and they are fed up with me. I hate them, they hate me. Thus replace them with better than them for me. And replace me with worse than me for them. This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 10-154, Sahih Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 2, page 59 of the English translation, in the chapter on those who relate from Uthman Ali. And it's a Sahih report. So what dua is he making, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He goes, I hate them, they hate me. Replace them with better than them for me. Because give me better than them. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And replace me with worse than me for them. So question, was he cursing them? What would you say?
Kind of.
So why would you say kind of?
Because they didn't fully condemn him, if you know what I mean. Like, no. You know what I mean?
Did he really curse them? Everybody's worse than Ali. So when he made the dua, replace me with worse than me for them. He wasn't a curse. He just mentioned the statement of truth. So you got to be very careful. See, yeah, that's why I mentioned it. You're thinking, oh, he's cursing. He's not cursing. He goes, replace them with better than them for me. That's not a curse. He wants to go with to be with the Prophet and the Sahabas. But then he goes, replace me with worse than me for them. There's nobody greater than him. So even if this next greatest became the Khalif, you got worse than Ali. Look at his eloquence. So he was doing something, and people could still see that he's not making bad dua, because he's obviously been trained by the best. In another report, Jundub added, people besieged Ali until they stepped on his feet. He thereupon said, indeed, I am fed up with them, and they are fed up with me. I have angered them, they have angered me. Thus unburden me from them, and unburden them from me. This is in Ibn Abi Asim in his Al-Ahad wal-Mathani 1-37, Sahih report. And in one last report, in another touching report, Abu Salih, he relates Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir 2-144. I was present when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu placed a copy of the noble Quran on his head until its leaves clattered. He then said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I asked them of what it contains, but they hindered me. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am fed up with them, they are fed up with me. I have angered them, they have angered me. They have made me adopt a character that is not mine. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, replace me with a more evil person for them, and replace them with those better than them for me. Make their hearts become like salt mixed with water. So now what is he doing here, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu? He's got the Quran. So he's the living Quran. He's put it onto his head, meaning he's grieving. And he says, I have asked them to act according to this book. They're not doing it. Then he says, they have forced me to adopt a character that is not mine. In other words, this is not my character. I'm forced to do things now that I don't want to do. Then he says, make their hearts become like salt mixed with water. He goes, teach them a lesson. So now, what do you notice? He's actually doing exactly what the Prophet says you can do at such times. You can't pray for death. But you can, you know, in between the lines, you can say, Ya Allah, if life is better for me, give me life. If death is better for me, give me death. He's fed up. And who is he solely blaming? The Iraqis. They betrayed Ali. They betrayed Hassan. They betrayed Hussein. And going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes, I'll never pray for them. 90% of evil comes from there. He knew. But he graciously prepared his family. And that's why when going back, when Abdullah ibn Salam told him, where are you going? Because you go there, you're going to be struck by the sword. Because I already knew this. Rasulullah. So he knew he was going there. But he took away the troubles from Al-Madinah. Because I'd rather have the troubles on my head than to make Rasulullah's resting place going through so much fitna and fasad. But of course, you feel grief. But this is part of the test. So that's why Allah Ta'ala gave him that honorable description in the Quran, what the waso bis sabr, the one who is exhorting to patience. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم